come tonight, my heart is around what you did some 2,000 years ago. Now, last week, Lord, you were praised as Messiah. And Father, tomorrow, traditionally, you will be mocked and hung on a cross. And we thank you, Lord, for your precious body, your blood, that provided a way to have intimacy with you, that provided even physical healing, but most of all, spiritual healing. And Father, the proof of everything that you said and did and proclaimed is because of what we will celebrate on Sunday. He is truly alive and risen. And we thank you for your precious blood that was given for our sake. And you loved us so much, Lord, that you sent him, because you wanted intimacy with us. So help us tonight to worship you, that amazing grace that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
While we all stand.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace. Help us tonight as we share on the pathway to healing, not only physically, but emotionally. So help us, Lord, as a collective body. You've given us such experience in life, doing the wrong way, but also, Lord, for some of us, you've shown us the path to that constant healing for our emotions. And so help us, Lord, collectively. Help me. There's so much I want to share in such short time. And I just pray your blessing upon this evening. In Jesus' name. Amen. There's so much, and I could probably just take this section here and break it up into three different areas because it's so much information from the world. And I got a little video clip, but I just want to let you know that God's plan for us is good, not the evil, to give us a hope for our future, for our healing, physically, emotionally. But there had been a paradigm shift back around World War II, and I got a little video clip by some doctors showing some of the problems in our diet today that affect us all, as adults, as mothers, but also as children, and how that has been passed on.
The human body runs on food. Once, food shortage was the major concern. After the Second World War, technological advances in food production led to a new era that was characterized by an overabundance of inexpensive food and relatively little physical activity. In the decades that followed, other sociocultural shifts continued to contribute to the changing way we ate. Women who had previously controlled most of the average family's food preparation now entered the workforce in significant numbers, and the processed food industry began to capitalize on our need for fast, convenient food. This meant that fewer meals were being cooked at home, and since convenience foods were generally higher in calories than home-cooked meals, the average person's caloric intake increased dramatically. Academics studying the intersection of food and health, like Michael Pollan, have written extensively about the implications of this cultural shift on the way we eat today.
To the extent we outsource our food, first we eat less healthy food, more salt, fat, and sugar, but we also eat more food because processed food is often designed as snack food and marketed to us as a way to eat continually through the day.
The changes in the way we as a society ate led to the emergence of obesity as a recognized chronic disease with well-defined health consequences. And medical recommendations were made to try and address this growing health crisis. In the second half of the 20th century, a lot of attention was focused on reducing saturated fat and total fat in our diets. And the processed food industry responded by giving us what we wanted. But they still had a vested interest in selling their products, so they found other ways to make the reduced fat products taste good. One way they did this was by adding significantly more sugar and other forms of sugar like corn syrup to almost everything we ate. This not only made the reduced fat foods more appealing, but it also increased their shelf life. So the food industry had a huge incentive to add corn syrup and other sweeteners to packaged foods. The resulting increase in our intake of simple sugars fueled our modern epidemics of obesity and diabetes. These shifts in our food consumption patterns have led us to a point in history where a physiological adaptation, our ability to store energy as fat, has become maladaptive. The balance between food availability and energy expenditure has been disrupted, and it's left us with an exponential increase in the incidence of obesity over the past 60 years, an epidemic that that the World Health Organization has labeled a worldwide public health crisis. Over the past 60 years, the amount of sugar consumed as part of the typical Western diet has increased dramatically. Significant increases in sugar consumption have been documented in most countries where heavily processed food has become readily available. Surprisingly, some experts estimate that only 1/6 of our sugar comes from desserts or foods that we think of as sweets. The majority of our sugar comes in the form of highly processed food and sweetened beverages. Many people are becoming aware of the need to reduce their sugar intake in order to maintain a healthy body weight. But what many people still aren't aware of is the fact that sugar, under a variety of different pseudonyms, is added to so many foods that we don't expect to contain sugar. Things like packaged breads, condiments, chips, sauces, and salad dressings. In 2015, the World Health Organization released new guidelines strongly recommending that all adults and children reduce their sugar intake to less than 10% of total calories consumed. These recommendations go on to suggest that a further reduction of sugar intake to less than 5% of total calories would likely have additional health benefits. These recommendations focus on free sugars, those that are added to foods by the manufacturer, the cook, or the consumer, as well as sugars that are naturally present in honey, syrups, and fruit juices. But they don't apply to intrinsic sugars found in whole fruits and vegetables, because the World Health Organization found no reported evidence linking the consumption of intrinsic sugars to adverse health effects. The sugar that naturally occurs in milk is also excluded from that 5%. For the average adult consuming a 2,000 calorie per day diet, reducing their sugar intake to 5% would mean that ideally no more than 100 calories per day should come from free sugars. Since free sugars offer 4 calories of energy per gram, this would translate into approximately 25 grams of free sugar, about 6 teaspoons. 6 teaspoons seems like a generous allocation when you picture spooning it out of a sugar bowl. But when you begin to look at the nutrition labels of most packaged foods, the numbers begin to add up incredibly quickly. For example, a 1/2 cup serving of organic granola can contain 16 grams or 4 teaspoons of sugar. If 1/2 cup of regular sweetened yogurt is added to that cereal for breakfast, this can add another 4 teaspoons of sugar, and you've already exceeded your recommended sugar intake by 2 full teaspoons before leaving the house. There's a growing consensus that we need to cut down on our sugar consumption, and yet there may be a downside to vilifying sugar the way we did with dietary fats. If we only emphasize the need to cut down on our sugar intake without simultaneously emphasizing moderation and balance in our diet as a whole, we risk a situation where fats and animal proteins are seen by the general public as free food, and the processed food industry again steps in and supersizes.
It's been interesting to read the research and see the shift in attention from treating fat as the evil nutrient to treating sugar as the evil nutrient. And we went overboard on fat. It turns out fat is not as evil as we thought, and saturated fat is not necessarily the thing to worry most about in your diet. And in fact, our obsession with saturated fat led us to promote trans fats, which turned out to actually be lethal. So I'm very wary of focusing all our attention on a single nutrient. Sugar has been part of the human diet for a very long time. It's prized by people all over the world. We have evolved to like the flavor of sugar for very good reasons, but we are eating too much of it. And I think we definitely need to cut down on the amount of sugar we're eating. But I think companies need to disclose added sugar, which they don't now have to do in processed foods. I'm very concerned that sugar is being added to foods that never were sweetened before. Things like bread now have sugar in them, and condiments of all kinds. Because if you put more sugar in food, you will sell more of it. So we need to be conscious of it. But does it explain everything about our diet? No, it really doesn't.
Oh, I started to look Could you turn on the light, Chris?
And before I go on, I'm the biggest junk food junkie there is. Who as the high school is here?
Yeah,
I used to bring it. And so I come with not the idea I got it all together. Actually, I have to blame somebody named Kim Zomer. In a good way. Because as I got older, and I'm getting old, I realize I'm becoming closer to that grade. And I'm trying to be more health conscious in what I put in God's temple. And same thing spiritually, garbage in, garbage out. Well, same thing with foods. And I'll give you an example. This here is 30 ounces of coffee. I used to, 3 of these in the morning.
Wow.
Of coffee. Oh, that was the easy part. I used to put 4 tablespoons of sugar. Tablespoons. And a tablespoon, if I'm not mistaken, is about 3 teaspoons. That's just in the morning. I purge myself down to 1 cup of 8 ounces. And my body is detoxified. Last week I was trembling. My mind could not stay focused. And so right now I'm in the process of purging myself from sugar. Just the one thing. And the last time I felt the shaking and the talking and confusion was while I was in a drug rehab coming off of antidepressants and anti-anxieties. And then cut out a decaf coffee. I had coffee. No decaf. And so now I'm dealing with that. No caffeine. But they still gave me sugar. And so I had a multitude, but I was shaking. At one point, I couldn't even talk because of the withdrawal that was coming from my body.
You know, I lost 100 pounds this year. I did away with sugars in my diet. I was told I had type 2 diabetes first. Okay, I did away with sugars completely in my diet. I eat now a little bit. Like tonight, I ate a little bit of ice cream, which is no big deal. But that's the first sugar I've consumed in months besides. But what I did is I started eating Special K, sweetened with cocktail, and a sweetened Splenda at Walmart. They sell it at Walmart, just for cocktail, sweetened Splenda. And my weight within 2 weeks started going up in chunks. I lost 50 pounds within the first 6 months, another 50 pounds in the next 6 months. I'm maintaining my weight now. I mean, I've varied a little bit from the 5 to 10 pounds up to that. But, I mean, if you could have seen me 2 years and a half ago, you would have said, wow. My wife says, I'm not going to mention you.
But I started because I wanted to get off my blood pressure. That is the only medication that I take. And so I happened to be talking to Kim, and she put together for me, actually, this is for cold that I ran into a Chick-fil-A, and she's helping me with my congestion, and I already gave it to Gloria, so she's... Yeah, I love her so much. And so I started to take it, but then as I was researching for the issues of sugar, all of a sudden one of the major contributors to high blood pressure is what? Guess what?
Sugar.
So all I was taking from Kim wasn't even working because of the sugar. And so then the purging started and everything else. And so thank you, Miss Kim.
That's
and so now, what I start bringing to the kids on Healthy Friday is fruit, naturals, moderation.
Does that mean you're going to go to our house tomorrow?
I'm not even going there. No. But I come up with statistics that, see, I love peaches, but when you look at the peaches, that's 19 grams of sugar. Divide that by 4. and figure it out. And then, oh, Sarah, who likes pancakes?
Oh, no, no.
Okay. 26. Divide that by 4. And that's what?
5.2.
That's a quarter of a cup. And now I put a lot more than a quarter of a cup on that. So exponential. Oh, we're not even talking about the free stuff that they put in. Okay, now, I went over to Sue's and the Joneses, and we had pancakes, but actually waffles, and put on this beautiful maple syrup. Look at that. Fresh. 53 grams of sugar for 4. After I read that, I had a rush to my brain, and I started to shake. And so the next 2 waffles I had was just butter. Now, the lemon, oh, look at this here. 25 grams. Divide that by 4. Now, here's my ho-hos. I love ho-hos. 43 grams. My favorite. I love my Debbie's. I love them. And I love Miss Gloria Moore. I have no problem with the weight, but I have the problem with the sugar. And I added to her problem. Oops. So I'm a Debbie guy. Now, Pete, right here. 34 grams. Now, who can only eat 5 of them? Tell me. It's hard. It's like eating pure sugar. It feels so good. So did I encourage you now? Did I lay some guilt trips on you? Not at all.
Let's not look at the outside of a mountain.
As I was researching and studying over in England in 2014, it's actually Sugar Rush, there's a website, the big video that he did on. And he went into one of the hospitals in England, and they had 7,000 amputees, all because of diabetes related to sugar. In Mexico in 2000, I think either 13 or 15, in 1 year they had 75,000 because of sugar. Sodas. It's become a pandemic. Over and over, we have our country, our world is just, we can see in reality about obesity. We can see with diabetes and other areas. But now we're talking about our emotions, our feelings. How does it affect, what is science beginning to tell us about what the result of sugar is? Actually, let me, there's 54 different, soon 56 research. Check it out. I started reading labels now, and I get, my body wants to go down the cookie aisle, and every time I look, ooh, I start putting down. I'm more conscious of what I'm putting in here. There's 18 foods that they say are high in sugar that we should stay away from. I'm going to go through this fast because I want your input. Okay, there's a list of them. Look at number 1, low-fat yogurt. Barbecue sauce. Ketchup. On and on and on.
I really like all those things.
I know.
Every single one of the 18.
Okay, look at Snickers bar. Milky Way bar. Oh, look at 3. This was my favorite. Look how much. Okay,
no,
so
no.
Am I hitting a sauce spot? Now, look at Mountain Dew.
I love Mountain Dew.
Now, Pastor Darren's not here, but his Dr. Pepper is pen.
I don't care. Dr.
Pepper. Yeah, it's different fruits. The low, not that bad. Desserts. Look at the different desserts. Fruitcake.
I'm
not sure
about juice.
Moderation. Sponge cake. Look. Well, what do you put on this one? All sugar.
I'm not
Cereal.
Twice the amount of sugar you're supposed to have in an entire day.
Frosted Flakes.
What happens if you drink
Let's
eatable.
Get down to this was my favorite right there.
Not that, I mean,
What about chocolate chips?
Shredded wheat. That's what we all need to eat. Moms feed shredded wheat. Okay, now I want to get into the area where psychologists and researchers are focusing on high
like
sugar, how it affects us physically, but also mentally.
Didn't I just have this
the first one they come up with, depression, affects what sugar has done. And research has determined, because of all this sugar, it is actually affecting us genetically. And I checked out with this here, this BDNF. Basically, it's the neural pathway in which cells communicate. And what happens when sugar begins to affect and lower it, it creates, lowers dopamine in our body. And a lot of that is being affected. Schizophrenia and other mental health because of sugar. Research is coming to see that there's a link. Also, addiction. Well, I want to use the biblical term. It's called strongholds.
Right,
you know, it is strangling us as a society, as the body of Christ. Check it out. Research, finding out. It is. Also, anxiety.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Learning and memory is all being affected. This neural pathway is being slowed down, and so it's beginning to affect all of us, of our learning and our memory as we get older. Even more research in linking, dementia, all those things that's going on, which neural pathways are being affected and slowed down. Now I'm really going to hit home. Research is now beginning to link unhealthy pregnancy diets with ADHD. There's one of them. There's another in Ireland. Unhealthy pregnancy diets may be linked to ADHD studies. Another one. Correlation between high ADHD, sugar consumption, Harvard diet, ADHD, there's a link going on that something, even in our pregnancy. When I was watching that Rush movie about sugar, here's pregnant women nursing and drinking a bottle of Coke at the same time. Sugar war. On and on and on. It's affected us. Seven signs of ADHD, what's happening because of a linking. They won't say it's inconclusive, so I'm not saying it's for sure, but there's beginning more and more research, and it brings us to some concerns. Again, more linking sugar with mental health. This is what they call the Connor. The Connor is what is used to determine suggestive ADHD or ADD. Kids, students are being evaluated by teachers on actually behavioral and by the school will determine and link and suggest that this child may be ADHD or ADD. Nothing scientific, it's just watching and looking at behavior. In all my research, there was one thing missing, is discipline. Oh, I wanted to thank Miss Heidi. Did you know that many people don't realize that farmers are using Roundup?
Yep. It's an algae.
Yeah.
And it's spreading.
Into growing all sorts of food. It's allowed.
They put Roundup right in the genes. Right in the genes.
All these chemicals.
And then it gets into wild nature, like the Roundup.
Of effective.
And spreads
all
to
of
the
us.
Plants.
I'm
going to
move on and on. Even, I brought this up is because years ago, the FDA was said this was no good. And all of a sudden, now it's good. Or once it was good, now it's bad. And so there's more and more research of what was once okay is now like trans fats. Different things there. More science is coming and realizing it's affecting us physiologically, but also emotionally. On and on. So, turn on the light, Chris. What do we do? You know, the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, all things are lawful. But are they all helpful? All things are lawful, but are they edifying? Are they building us up? Now that's spiritually, but how about physically? Now I'm reminded of a teenage boy who was taken into a foreign land with a bunch of others. And he was sent to the school of the Chaldeans to learn their ways because they found wisdom and stuff in them. What was the one thing when they were asked to do about eating foods of the Chaldeans? What did they say? Why? It wasn't godly. They didn't want what they purposed in their heart not to defile our bodies. Yes, as a
wasn't it also sacrificed to idols first?
All of those things, yes. But they didn't want to be unkosher. They wanted to honor God with their body. And so, what do we do? I know Mrs. Shuttlebauer has gone through a tremendous trial in her life. And if she'd like to share some of the things she learned, and some of you all, Miss Kim. So please, help us. Find out how can we get on a pathway to help us have more healthy lives physically, but also emotionally.
Well, I know that when I was really, really ill, the doctor did tell me that, you know, with my nervous system being on the fritz constantly, and my immune system being so taxed that people in my case, if they would take out sugar, would probably live longer and be able to function better. And I have found that to be true. I do feel I'm like kind of hypersensitive to it, and I do feel that partially the Lord has healed me through my diet. You know, I do cheat a lot with the gluten and dairy and things that I know that add inflammation, but sugar is the one thing that if I go overboard on it, I could literally be in the hospital. It can make me that sick. It can make me put me right into like almost acid. So I have to be very careful with my barbecue sauce. Okay. I have to be even careful with fruit, you know, because it can be too much.
Exactly right.
So, you know, I do know that, and that did awaken me to the fact that if I'm that sensitive to it, that means it's affecting everybody else, too. It's not just me. I'm just feeling it quicker because I'm that much weaker. But my kids, you know, my kids, they think of me as like the sugar Nazi,
yeah,
most of the time.
Very much.
And, but, you know, we've been to the dentist many times, and not one of my four kids has a cavity, praise the Lord. You know, so, you know, I do know that fighting for this is important. You know, fighting this battle. We're against the culture because everything we do has that kind of sugar. And you know, I'll get off track, and I'll start feeding my kids sugar, and then I'll realize that it's
kept
back into our lives.
I went up to the wedding for my grandson, and of course we're at the rehearsal party, and everyone's having a whole lot of alcohol. So, I totally forgot. Let me have a Coke. Well, after six Cokes later,
yep.
I'm right back there again. All that time I was off it, in a heartbeat, my body was also affected. And I can feel it. I couldn't sleep for the next 2 days. That rush of sugar in my body. Yes, buddy.
I'm on Prozac for depression. And I have noticed, I've drank caffeine, a really big fan of Mountain Dew, and I'm a really big, so I switched to Pepsi because it's better on your teeth, because it got real expensive about the time that I was paying $10,000 to have my teeth fixed. and then going back, and every time I would go back, there would be more wrong with my teeth. So I switched to Pepsi, but I have noticed that I've been setting back on the Pepsi, and I think it's doing more for my anxiety than the not drinking the Pepsi is doing more for my anxiety than taking the Prozac is doing for my anxiety. Like, and I didn't know because I've been so high on a sugar diet for so many years that I've never not had it, so I didn't know that it was doing it because that's all I've ever known. I've been drinking soda since I was 6, every day.
I know I have a brother who went to Dakota Bible College, and he, I think the last I remember, he was like 480 pounds. He used to drink 3 liters of Pepsi every day.
Yeah. I used to drink Mountain Dew like that. I used to grab the entire 2 liter and drink it like it was a can.
Kim, do you have some insight and help in getting us in a way to a better understanding of what we can do in our society, in our culture?
Well, I'll just encourage you that we really go towards a whole food diet as much as possible, and it sounds really difficult, and it's really not. So, and I'd also encourage you to just start with small changes, because it feels really overwhelming to go from where you might be now to where you need to go. But we started with small stuff years ago, and we've even got to the point where, like, we don't use the microwave, and we try not to drink out of plastics and a lot of different things like that. I would also encourage you, if you go on this journey, to start looking at your toxic load, like in your personal care products, your shampoos, your deodorants. It's really not difficult just to make things, and it's not expensive. In fact, we save a lot of money making things. And I was just talking to somebody online today about sunscreen. Actually, I saw a video about sunscreen. And how toxic it is. And I actually got just about into a brawl with my doctor back in Atlanta over sunscreen. And I ended up leaving that pediatrician because he was really on my case about giving my kids sunscreen. And I wouldn't do it. But now it's coming out with all the toxic effects. But really, I can go in the kitchen and spend a couple of hours once at the beginning of the summer and make a bunch of it and put it away. And then we have homemade sunscreen made with shea butter and coconut oil and things like that. That's really not only not detrimental, but healthy for my kids, and effective. So anyway, just make small changes, and a whole food diet's really not difficult. It's really easy.
I know at the church we were up in Georgia, they had not only a homeschool co-op, but they had a co-op of food. And what they would do is they would put all their money together to buy healthy food. And they had, once a week, a tractor trailer, 53-footer, would come in and deliver all this food. And they all came, and that was one way they did to try to eat healthy. They started to grow their own crop. We actually, our pastor, had 50 acres. And he set aside a couple of acres, and he offered anybody who wanted to come up there, grow your own food. Also, they used to have to make their own bread. They were mindful of what they put in making bread, sure it was healthy.
I think we also have to be careful that, the other thing that I learned, I had a doctor, one of the ones that actually helped save my life. I was in his office one time, and he was talking to me about sugars and things, and he turns to Darren, who's drinking a diet soda, and he pointed to it and said, "Now, she's off sugar, but don't you dare drink that stuff." He said to me, "It will kill me and to quicker, but it will kill him too," is the artificial sweeteners. We got to be careful that it's not just let's go sugar-free. It's let's eat God's sugars in the way it's meant to be with the fibers of the fruit and not just replace it with the chemical man-made stuff, because that will really, really affect our nervous systems and our brain chemistry.
I just want, I'm going to ask Ms. Kemp.
If I had to choose, I'd have regular sugar all day long.
Me too.
I remember, about a month ago, I had this big bottle of water. It was sugar-free, and Kim looked at, aspartame, not good. And I just like, God, and I began to look at what aspartame, I go, man, like you said, I'd rather go back to the sugar. But everything in moderation, get beside you.
Read. Before you buy anything, read the labels. Right. Read the labels.
And if you haven't wanted to know where that list is, I can get it for your website, please. I want to bring awareness so that we can ask God to help us in these in this time. Yeah.
I think that's where we need to start, is kind of our own mind about these, you know, subjects. Like, we're aware of that garbage in, garbage out mentality, and we take it, you know, with like the swear words and nudity and whatever, and the things that we watch and read and music that we listen to, but we don't necessarily translate that same garbage in, garbage out with food. And that's where it all really starts, is having the proper, you know, mindset about it.
And so I've come to realize I'm just doing one thing at a time. Am I worried about my caffeine? Not so much. I'm worried more about sugar. As I have victory over that, then I can move on to another step and another step. Just working out, you can see, is one thing, but what's inside, it's not going to translate your gut. I realized between that and the pancreas and what it does, Hezekiah.
I don't know about this one sweetener. I thought my gum packages that I buy is like Estriol or something like that.
Do you know what the verse is?
Is that really bad?
That, like, I mean, it doesn't say no, garbage in, garbage out, but that's what it is.
So
I know your mom had, there is a, see, is it seedless?
Your soul, your heart is alive in your body.
Yeah.
So if your heart is
everything
dark,
in moderation, everything
darkness
in moderation.
Your conscience is
so, yes, Miss Natalie.
Even like it was saying, low fat, you know, low fat, no fat. You know, I started buying, because I wanted to cut out calories, started buying no fat, and I realized they take out the fat, supposedly, but then they replace it with corn syrup. And if you buy the regular, it doesn't have corn syrup in it. So you're better off just staying with the regular, using less of it. Which you probably would, because it's a richer, you probably would use less of it anyway. And your body just cannot break down.
That, it's that free sugar. They don't have to. By law, they don't have to let you know. Yes.
And that's be careful of labels, I think, you know, as part of what she's saying. Because on a bag of sugar, legally, they could put, you know, 100% fat-free, even though sugar, you know, turns into fat.
Something else, too.
I can't think of the real word.
Don't buy it if you find out what it is.
Research.
Always go online, go to Google, and Google that term in relation to whatever product it is, and it will bring up a list of what it is, how it's put together, and even if it has any adverse effects on the body, the EPA has already researched it and done everything for you. And you can find out everything about it and what it does to you and how it does it to you, when it does it to you, and so on. But like you said, everything has to be done in moderation. You cannot eat too much of anything, because too much of anything is not good for you to begin with. But a lot of these foods, even a little bit of what's in these foods, is not good for you. And also, you were talking about sugar, but the labels that contain something in the crown, like dextran, that's usually a sugar. Anything in the toast or trose, like fructose, dextrose, those are all sugars. And you've got to look and see what kind of sugar it is, because fructose comes directly from a plant, you know, which is not as bad, but it can be if you eat too much of it. And you've got to research everything and see what kind of sugar it is, where it came from, and how it's processed, and analyze it just like a scientist almost.
So yeah, there's a list. Research. Check it out. I actually found one website. They show what the sugar is and why to avoid it. And so there's so many helps out there to help us to be smart to our bodies. Yes, Jacob.
So I saw when you were talking about cereal, and I thought I'd ask, so whole wheat's all bad, or are okay? Or shredded
wheat? Well, this is just low in sugar. The lowest. So I used to eat shredded wheat.
So they're not good for me?
No.
Sure.
No.
They are good for me.
Good fiber,
yeah.
Low sugar. So you want something more like whole food, real food in it that like it came from a garden, rather than a lot of chemicals and a lot of things that make it really sugary.
There's a little video I was going to show, but positive steps to take with food. And maybe I'll do that next time. But I want us to have communion. I want us to really realize this is really a giant. It really is a Goliath that we're facing.
This is part of it.
And we cannot do it just from our intellect. You know, there's, oh, yes.
So, a lot of you are kids right now. Luckily today, we have a lot of you. One of the things we want to look at as your target is how tall you are. There's a certain weight you should have for that height. And the sooner you maintain weight versus height, the longer you're going to live generally. A lot of it has to do with the more overweight you are, cholesterol builds up inside of your arteries and starts to slow the blood flow down. So you're looking at, okay, why did people get diabetes later on in life? The more you carry more weight than your body's height, the quicker that buildup goes on inside your arteries. As you get older, now the blood can no longer flow down to your extremities. So your feet become almost the first thing that you start to lose sensation in your feet. You can't feel your feet anymore. You could step on a nail, you wouldn't even know it if you're highly diabetic. And you walk around, you don't know that you get blisters on your feet and those kinds of things. So if a long-term situation, then the sooner you deal with it, recognizing that, wait a minute, I'm only 5'5" tall, but I'm, you know, this wide. That's not good for you. And the diet part of it, I mean, that all goes into it. You have to realize whatever you're eating, if you continue to be overweight, you're going to suffer for it as you get older. The sooner you drop down and get into that zone where you're the right weight for your height, the longer you'll live.
Another thing that I've found too, is anybody who has high cholesterol, eating vinegar is an excellent way to reduce your cholesterol. I was diagnosed with high cholesterol in the 90s, okay? My cholesterol was like 212 at the end there. It went up to 265, it went up to 3-something. And it kept going up, 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 up. My doctor kept giving me this medication, that medication, changing me. Every few months, he changed me to another one. Every month, actually. I changed me to another. Finally, he gave me this one medication. It's $30 a pill, he told me. He said, try this. This is the best thing in the world. And I read an article in Family Circle magazine about how apple cider vinegar helps fight heart disease, helps control high blood pressure, helps thin the blood, and also reduces cholesterol in the blood. It's just the fat that builds up in your bloodstream. Okay? I started on taking 2 ounces of cholesterol, I'm sorry, of apple cider vinegar in the morning, and I mixed it with grape juice. They said, you mix it with your favorite fruit drink, nothing acidic like orange juice or grapefruit juice or anything like that, acid. It's not good because it would offset the effect of the vinegar. The vinegar itself is an acid.
Right.
So you mix it with your favorite fruit juice, like apple juice, grape juice, or something like that, 2 or 3 ounces, drink it probably 2-3 times a day. I first of all started drinking it morning, noon, and night. I just take a couple of ounces of vinegar, put the apple juice in it, maybe 3 or 4 ounces of apple juice, and down. Pretty taste the vinegar, hardly. I mean, you got to taste it a little bit. But within 1 month, my cholesterol went from 300 and something down to 165. My boss said, wow. I mean, my doctor said, wow, that new medication I gave you must really be working, isn't it? I said, sure is, doc. I've never felt better. I take it and throw them in the trash and haul it. He wrote me another script that I ripped up for the trash. I'm not kidding. Because that's all you have to do is use God's natural products that He has put here on earth for us. You know, and apples are something natural. Even though apple cider vinegar comes from apples and is processed from apples, it's still the natural product of the apple. And that's what people can do. And always research natural remedies for them, because they're the best way to go.
And as I was trying to look at the spiritual aspect, you know, we can look at the research and all the mounting, it's there. There's nothing we can do about it.
For Tom's sinus problems, he needs to put a lot of thyme in his food. Because thyme is a natural decongestant, and it'll help dry up all of that problem with sinus problem. My cat recently had a sinus problem. I started giving her time. I would cook, what I did is I cooked soup at home in the crock pot, and I would sprinkle thyme and a lot of Italian seasoning here, which also contained thyme and garlic. And the smell of it in itself, she could sit in the house overnight. She would be sneezing and wheezing and, you know, I mean, congestion is coming out of her. By morning, it completely cleared up. No sneezing, no wheezing, no congestion, anything. And that's all it takes is just something natural to get your body back in the center.
And so I looked and I began to ask myself, why did God give the dietary law to the nation of Israel? Now, let me finish this and I'll get you, Justin. We're not under that covenant, but all scripture is given for inspiration of God, the Old Testament. And so we can learn and we can make some adjustments. And he really is, he said, I want you to be different from the world food, the way they eat. They're really bad, raw food. I want you to cook your food. Certain things they knew at that time, shellfish and all of that stuff. He said, you're a covenant people. I want you to stand above. And this is what he said when they came out of Mount Sinai, heading to the promised land in Exodus 15, verse 26, and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will not put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. The Rapha also is our physician. And so when we look to God and say, Lord, I want to be different. Show us, because we are your light. We can do things. And people says, why are you so? You were once this way, but now you're so healthy. You can be able to share them from a spiritual perspective. How God is also going to keep those diseases. Even here, God's healed me physically and emotionally. But yet I got to learn every day to trust him in those areas. It's not a one-time deal. Every day I got to walk in the newness and think like God. Lord, am I obeying you? If I'm not, Lord, help me do what is right. But and it deals with repentance. It deals with, Lord, I haven't taken care of my body. Show me. Give me wisdom for me and my family. Nobody else. My family. And so that's why we have community. Actually, I thank Hezekiah because he was mindful. This is the Holy Week. This is tomorrow. Traditionally, he goes to the cross. Provide healing for us, spiritually, but also physically and emotionally. He wants us to be a covenant. We are a covenant people. And we are to look at things in a different way and trust him to touch our bodies and heal us, even our emotions. As he did mine. But every day I got to discipline myself into thinking. So with all the kids' families, just come up. And just go before. Have a little quiet time. Come up and say, Lord, if there's anything you would need to make right, deal with God. Come up and provide the bread or the matzah and the juice. His body and his blood. And it will pass over. As they put it on the door lintel, he passed over. And so, help us to do that. Appropriate in your own life. Parents, you know where your children are. You determine whether they should come up and have communion. Do it as a family. Okay? Father, as we spend these next few minutes, we thank you, Lord, that you have provided for us wisdom. Not like the world has. So help all of us, especially myself, Lord, help me to be a good steward of your body, your temple that you dwell in. Help my brothers and sisters, Lord, to know each one of their unique situation, whether it's financial, whether it's time, because of all the dynamics of that family. You are a God of grace and a God of mercy. Lord, as we come to you as a family, give us proper wisdom. Help us to take positive steps in the food that we take and give to one another. Help us not to be a stumbling block in any way, shape, or form. So, Lord, we love you. We trust you. We ask for your help. In Jesus' name. So come to the table when you feel the Lord directs you to do it. psalmist says, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Selah. Let's think of that. My deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many are sorrows he shall to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all the upright. Lord, I thank you for the blood. I thank you, Lord, you will instruct us each day. Lord, this is a truly Goliath in our lives. It seems hopeless, and really an impossible task. But those who delight in you, and those who trust you, Father, you will guide them. You will lead them. Help us, Lord, to look at you. We thank you that this bread represents your body and blood that was shed for us, that provided a relationship with you. Our sins, it is finished, all past, present, and future. And we come to you washed in the blood. And I just think of that song, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Help us to remember and appropriate what you did for us in our own personal lives. Help us to be brothers and sisters that it encourages each other on the pathway that you want us in this area of food and sugar. Give us wisdom, Father, but yet take those necessary steps as you guide us one step at a time. We thank you. We love you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that will instruct us in all things. So as we partake as a family, we desperately need your help. So we take it, remembering what you've done for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Hezekiah. He is risen.